So, maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a new personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you succeed online. Right now, GoDaddy is offering a .com domain for just $149, people. $149, okay? Not $149, $1.49. Go to GoDaddy.com and enter promo code WWC149. That is WWC149 to get your $1.49.com. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Okay, thank you. Bye, guys.
Watch what crafts. Watch what crafts. Guess what happens when there's so much crafts. Watch what crafts. Watch what crafts. Guess what happens when there's so much crafts.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and I'm here with Ben Mandelker of B-Side Blog. Hello there, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie.
You guys can find all our social media stuff on our website, watchwhatcrappens.com, and you can chat with other listeners and us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. Please come over there. We're having a lot of fun. We're going to be reading a lot of your stuff from there today. Mm-hmm. And also, you can subscribe to us for extras like bonus episodes and ringers and Google Hangouts and all that good stuff at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Come subscribe. And, it's fun, and It's almost Christmas.
And more importantly, it's Thanksgiving, and in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I am very thankful to the people who have already donated and supported and pledged money towards us. It goes a long way, and once we hit $1,000 per episode, we're going to go up to 2 full episodes of Watch What Crappens a week for everyone, so that'll be like, we'll be able to cover even more shows.
Yeah, and as my mother would say, happy birthday, turkeys.
Happy birthday, pilgrims and Indians.
Top Chef this week had, or last week, I guess, because damn, Top Chef comes out the same day we record, so it's always so late by the time we record to talk about it. But
and
Top
by the way,
Chef
this week,
was like Indians and pilgrims, like actual Indians and pilgrims, and one of the Indians looked like Francis McDormand and had like a really thick Boston accent, which was really funny. But I was like, why are these people eating together? Don't eat anything the pilgrims give you. Have you people learned nothing?
I know. It's like for the quickfire challenge, find a way to make an amuse-bouche out of smallpox.
Totally. Totally. Take this diseased blanket and use it as a placemat for a dish with soup in it.
By the way, I'd like to point out that we are recording live from the Mayflower this week.
Yes.
In the spirit of Thanksgiving.
We didn't have a Mayflower, but Ben went to New York to visit his folks, so he's on the Staten Island Ferry.
Yeah, actually, so here's what's actually kind of amusing about this. I am in New York. I'm at my friend's apartment. My friend just had a baby about a month ago, and my friend has now gone down to the supermarket to get groceries. So I'm actually overseeing a baby as we speak.
Overseeing. You can tell how much you ever take care of babies. You don't say overseeing the baby, Ben. She was funny though. She's like, Ben, are you gonna hear it if you have headphones on? But what if it starts crying? What are you gonna do? There's a podcast, Ben, you gonna make sure, is the baby okay, Ben? She called you. She's probably texted you 5 times.
If it starts to cry during the podcast, we're gonna have this. It'll be a very interesting bonus episode that we have later. Well, we are gonna record the bonus episode later, and my friend Mishi, she's gonna join us because we're gonna talk about Survivor. And also some other Bravo gossip, but we're going to talk about Survivor, especially because she watches it.
Yeah, so that'll be late. So meanwhile, let's talk about who's still surviving on Bravo.
Oh, barely any of my brain cells, that's for sure.
Some of these bitches need to be voted off, and I include the men in that bitches, so don't get all upset over there.
Yeah, I think that's a very good assessment, Ronnie.
All right, what show you want to watch? I mean, talk about first.
I don't know. Should we start with Beverly Hills since it was on most recently?
Yeah, Beverly Hills was the most recent, so let's do that.
I kind of felt like this episode was a dud, right? Like nothing happened.
Well, right now they're not hanging out at all. It's just them and their private lives, and I don't need to see Kyle do anything ever privately. Like,
yeah,
what is she even doing on here? She's going to Lake Tahoe. She's still faking her fear of planes, which she seems to only have every other trip. that's taken. She seems to forget that she's got that housewives fear. I don't know.
Yeah. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, oh, wait. The baby is making a noise.
Uh-oh. What did it do?
I think the baby sneezed.
I think that was the baby saying bullshit because it heard us talking about Kyle's problems.
I know. Well, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I'm going to say what I'm thankful for. And I'm thankful for the baby's making noises. Can you hear this?
Yeah, but it's talking, right?
I think the baby may be farting. Listen.
It stopped.
It stopped, of course. I think the baby may have pooped.
Oh,
it was like,
oh,
it sounded
God.
A little bit like a fart. It looks like it's still asleep. But
oh, God. Of course she leaves you right when the baby poops. Isn't that how it works? She's like, it's this pooping time. I'm going to the store. You deal with it.
I did not sign up for pooping, okay? She will change the diaper when she comes back. So anyway, so what I'm every time I say what I'm thankful for, the baby poops, which means the baby's like, my shit is better than whatever you're about to say. So anyway, I'm thankful for the ability to actually recognize bullshit, whether it's coming from a baby or whether it's coming from Kyle's mouth, because I love how Kyle has now spent the episode being like, I really don't want to spoil Portia. Like, you know, her sisters didn't have what she has. And it's like, it's really important for me that she's not spoiled. And she loads her onto a private plane and gives her everything she wants. Like, Kyle, just because you say you don't want to spoil your child does not mean that you are not spoiling your child, you know?
Yeah, you don't want elbow skin that hangs down to your knees either, but there we go.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where people talk about like, oh yeah, I really need to get into shape. I'm going to get into shape. That's something that's like really important to me. It's not the same as actually going to the gym and getting in shape.
Oh, trust me, I know.
You know?
If complaining about being fat actually burned calories, I'd probably be Mauricio size right now instead of Kyle's. One of my favorite things about that Kyle and Mauricio thing that I'm thankful for is seeing how Mauricio is obviously cheating on Kyle at this point. Because like when they're in the bathroom, okay, you know how every housewives show makes a husband sit there and listen to their wife bitch about their friends, because who else are they going to talk to at home, you know? So they all have the obligatory scene of the husband having to like actually interact about all this stupid shit they don't care about. But Mauricio's beyond even giving a shit. He's like staring at the wall, looking like he wants to murder himself, while Kyle's like, yeah, but then the girls, and then Adrian came to the party, and then the other girls were talking to Adrian, and then Lisa was there, and then and I wonder what happened. And he's just like, he has that look on his face like he's dreaming of like transgender tranny, you know, transgender hookers or whatever, while she's blabbing on and on about nothing and bending over and like blow drying her hair and getting her long ass hair all over the place. You could just see him making an escape plan, you know?
I know.
He's like, this flight is going to be flown by JFK Jr.'s pilot, and I'll meet you there. I'm taking a bus.
He's probably the one who started the forest fire up in Lake Tahoe recently. He's like, I'll just create a lot of smoke and disappear in the middle of it.
I'm sorry, babe. I don't know how your lighter was left. I don't know how your curling iron was left on. Well, who did that? Left it on the bed. That's so crazy.
Sorry, babe. I was trying to throw the torch into Lake Tahoe, and I threw it into the woods instead. Sorry, babe. Because they stay in a castle with torches.
And what we just said was way more than Kyle even got this episode. So I was thankful for that.
I was thankful for that too. Yeah, she barely was on it. But Kim certainly had a lot going on. And I'm thankful for more Kim. I'm less thankful for super scripted storylines like the one that Kim and Brandy had last night.
I actually laughed at that. I'm reading our Facebook page and people are not loving that either. You seem to all be hating that, but I thought it was really funny. I don't know why, but Kim's just so fucking crazy. I like when Kim just comes on and acts crazy and drunk. That's it. All the stuff last season, I didn't like her last season because she was too like whiny and blah, blah, and victim-y. I hate that. But I love when she's just crazy.
But you know, I like that too, but this was like, they were trying to force the Kim on us. Like, you don't have to like come up with a whole ridiculous plan of like having her be in a wig and, you know, sitting in the hedges. Like, Kim will be crazy on her own. Just let it happen naturally.
I guess I just believe that Kim is that way. Like, I believe that she has, like, she's like, I believe that we're sisters in the way that we both have wigs in our closets that are in some bag and totally uncombed.
Yeah.
Because you know you have to put those things in a fucking washing machine, right?
Wigs?
Yeah. Like, because they're not real hair. Well, unless you have real hair wigs, which she possibly does. But
like, I can guarantee my
washing machine. Oh. So that reminded me of me, because I just did that a few days ago. But I didn't leave the house and spy on anybody. But I was dancing around in them.
See, I feel like if you want to make Kim's crazy come out, don't give her some wigs and tell her to stand in the bushes. What you want to do is you want to put her in a situation where she's highly uncomfortable and nervous. So send her to like a mixer with like a bunch of single professionals and lawyers, you know? Oh, the baby's making noise.
Oh, what's it saying? It sounds like Kim. It's just like,
I know. Did you hear it? There was like a little noise. And the mobile is moving too.
It's talking.
It's talking. And the baby, I think, is...
I think it's just awake, like staring at the mobile, talking to it. You know how babies do that? They're like, Kingsley, Kingsley, just because you're a dog doesn't mean you can't be my boyfriend. We're going to be boyfriends like kindergarten boyfriends and girlfriends. We're not going to do it in the butt, but everything else is great. Yeah, Kingsley.
You know, there's not much of a difference between this baby's garbling and Kim talking about whatever, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I got wigs.
but still, what I was going to say though is send Kim to a place where there's a bunch of single men who are professionals and good looking, and then the crazy will just happen, because then she'll just be like on edge. Remember when she was set up on a date like season one with Martin, of all people?
Yes. She's like, or when she met that guy in the grocery store.
Oh, yes. Whoa. Yeah, like
Kim, that's, I met him in the chicken aisle, and I was like, chicken, I love chicken.
Kim's crazy works best when it's set in the context of very normal people and perhaps upstanding people, because then you're like, whoa, she's crazy. But if she's just like with Brandy in the hedges, it's like, oh, okay.
Well, I don't buy Brandy being friends with anybody, because Brandy only thinks about herself, and she went the Camille Grammer route and actually hired employees that are her friends.
Oh my God.
So that she would have friends to hang out with. That's so sad that, like, her gay, that rubber faced gay is her house guest slash
hairstylist.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, and she's got like inch long roots. So he's apparently not doing his job. He's basically just living in the garage for free.
It was like Sycophant Central.
Yeah, pretty sad. Because no one else can approve of Brandy's shitty attitude all the time. Yeah, so I'm not believing that she's really hanging out with Kim, because she's a total drunk.
And that they love
each
other so much, yeah.
Yeah, she's a total drunk, so if Kim really is, which I don't know that I've ever believed that anyway, but if Kim really is sober, that's really difficult to hang around like a fully functioning alcoholic who's probably also doing coke and pills.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the same woman who accused you of doing meth in the bathroom, too.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get it. If you ever screamed at me at a party with a big, long, fake ponytail like that and put your finger in my face and said, "No, Yolanda, like any of the fights these bitches have gotten into, I don't think we could be friends again. My feelings would be hurt forever.
Well, that's why everything that Lisa said, I'm thankful for Lisa Vanderpump. I think we all are thankful for Lisa Vanderpump, except for some of you who do not like her at all. But for me, I'm thankful for her because she has some common sense. She's basically like, what Brandy did was like betrayal. It was obnoxious and awful. And I just can never be friends with her in the same way again. Like, maybe we'll become friendly, but like, it's not going to be the same. And stupid Brandy, you know, it really pissed me off again that she was like, it's just so crazy that like, if Kim Richards could forgive me, or no, that if Adrian Malouf could forgive me, like, it's ridiculous that Lisa can't forgive me for this minuscule thing that we did. It's like, it's not up to Lisa to come. Actually, I think she was asking for an apology or something. Either way, it's like, no, Brandy, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
like,
she was like,
for her.
Yeah, I mean, I ruined Adrian's marriage and she's forgiven me. I mean, Lisa's mad about some stupid comments I made. It's like, no, that was like a year of torture. Now, that said, I'm kind of sick of listening to Lisa be the victim. Because, first of all, Lisa is no victim, and all you have to do is watch Vanderpump Rules to see the other side of Lisa. And that's the side I really like, where she's just funny and bitchy, and she doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks. And maybe that's because she's surrounded by people who have to kiss her ass no matter what. But I love that side of her. But this Beverly Hills, where she's like, oh, you know, it's having friends who are mean to you, blah, blah. She mentioned how she was so bullied. She even called it systematic torture or something, like, but she's systematic. I was worried she was going to say systematic bullying, and I was going to have to like go on Twitter and be like, why, Lisa, why?
Well, I think that...
Isn't that a big threat, me going on Twitter and being like, why? Why would you do that, Lisa?
It's the biggest. It's a very existential attack. But the thing is that, like, I actually didn't feel like Lisa was playing the victim card too hard. You know, it's a sliding scale because everyone plays the victim card on these shows. But, you know, I just felt like it was justified, you know. And, you know, they did come for her. And she's basically saying, yeah, like, I just won't be friends with her anymore. And she's explaining why. And she's like, you know, it wasn't just an attack. It was like one after another came for me. And, like, that's not cool. So I kind of get it.
I get it. It's just too much. Like, shut up already. We get it. We've all seen the show, and it's the second episode, and you're still talking about it.
I think Brandy is playing the bigger victim card. Here she is, this poor girl who, you know, she's just like, you know, like, she's just a brat, and she knows it. And, like, Lisa should forgive her. And the fact that Lisa hasn't forgiven her yet, it's just, like, ridiculous. And it's like, no. You don't get to have that entitlement, okay? And you can't hide behind this, like, oh, I get it. I'm a brat. Like, you know, I'm impulsive. Like, I bite back, you know? She always does this, I bite back. She has been the first biter many times.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. No one bit you. You're just Kingsley, okay?
Yeah, you
No bit. One bit Kingsley. He's just eating people, okay?
Yeah. You have, like, gored a few people, and then you've wondered why they've, like, slapped you on the nose, and then you bite, and they're like, and so I bit back. It's like, no. Maybe game night, okay? Game night, her first season, definitely she was biting back. She gets all the bite back cred she wants that season. But then it gets murky. Like, I don't even remember the whole thing with Adrian. You know, why did she go after Adrian? Because she said that Adrian was trying to get
just getting pissy with Adrian in general because she was being a bitch. And then she got drunk in Ojai or wherever they were, and they were having some dinner party, and they were talking about, everybody was talking about childbirth and, like, how painful it was and stuff. And Adrian was like, oh, yeah, you know, when I gave birth, it was really painful and blah,
yes,
blah,
that's
blah.
Right.
And then so at a different dinner party, Brandy was like, that lying bitch didn't even have her baby. And you all are so fake. You're just sitting here pretending that she had a baby and letting her lie on national TV. And she never even had a baby. It was all surrogate or whatever. Allegedly. We never heard that part. But
right. Well, no. So I think Brandy's defense was that Adrian had called her up separately and was like, let's get dirt on Lisa. Let's take down Lisa or something like that. And that's why Brandy aired this dirty laundry. But still, at the same time, I mean, the punishment doesn't really fit the crime. If Adrian did that, that's, like, fucked up. But then you don't go and, like, out this major secret or just, like, you know, you don't just, what is it, like, salt the earth or whatever. You scorch the earth and then put salt in it. You just let that field grow a little bit. You know, you don't have to go to that extreme, you know?
Yeah, she's pretty awful. Brandy is just a nasty girl. And if she was fun or something, like, if she had a fun personality, you know, there's always, like, bitchy, horrible people that you still like to hang out with. I mean, my friends are friends with me. So, like, you know, there's, like, evil people that are kind of fun. But Brandy's just not even fun. She's just horrible. And
no, I mean,
it's paining me to see her spend all this money acting like she's making all this money. Bitch is not making that much money. She's not making as much money to be living how she is. So every time I see that, I'm like, her children are going to be poor. I mean, Bobby Christina's probably poor now, you know? And she was Whitney Houston's daughter, okay? You can't just be spending your money like that. Put that shit away.
Yeah, I don't understand also why she suddenly... Oh, wait, hold on. Baby is moving. Baby is moving.
What's it doing?
Baby is settled. Baby... Everyone, the baby has settled. The baby has settled. I don't understand also why or how she can spend, like, two seasons. It's just been two seasons that she's been on, right? Two seasons sort of currying our sympathy or that here she's this woman who was cheated on by Eddie Cibrian. And, you know, he did all these awful things, and I can never trust it. Like, I can't trust someone who does that. I can't do this, da-da-da-da-da. And now she has this guy, JR, who left her, again, for another woman. He was cheated on her with another woman, which, by the way, does not speak well of Brandy. And yet here she is going after him and stalking him. It's like you can't play the – you like, how are you, like, fine with this guy, JR, doing to you what Eddie Cibrian did, you know? And – you know, then we're supposed to play it off for laughs now. It's like, what are you? Are you the jilted woman who is left by her husband for another woman? Or are you like silly woman who wants to win back a man from another. Everything about it just really annoyed me.
Well,
everything.
From the way that she talks about this guy, she's not making it easy for him, because she's always like, well, we're always fighting and then we're fucking. And if, you know, I'm not. And whenever she talks to him, it's like with all this attitude, you know, like when girls are like really attitude-y with a guy to try and turn them on, which I still don't understand how that ever works, because that like I'll run for the damn hills every time. But she doesn't make it easy, and she's probably like, oh, it's just fucking. But then when he starts having sex, she's like, oh, but then he's, you know, then she'll play the victim. And then now she's saying, oh, well, I'm going to steal him back from that skank that he left me for. But then she's calling someone else a man stealer later in the season. So
yeah,
she's just awful. Like you can't even pinpoint what's so bad about her, because there's nothing redeeming about her. There's not one nice thing. She's never done anything for anybody else. She's never been nice for just to be nice. She's never done anything that's not calculated.
Yeah,
she's just an awful person. Like she's tried really hard to be a housewife. For it, I mean, now I guess a lot of them do, but. A lot of them were just kind of picked because they were, you know, especially on this show, like Kyle Richards, you know, I think already knew a bunch of Bravo people and pretty much just picked her friends.
Yeah.
You know, Atlanta, NeNe just kind of picked a bunch of people. It's not something that you should try so hard. Lisa's like, I mean, Brandy is like the Bobby, New Jersey's Bobby, but on Beverly Hills, just thirsty, too desperate.
She's way too thirsty.
Desperate.
On a network full of thirsty people, she is one of the thirstiest.
Yeah. Yep. And Bravo usually has really fun people, but she's not one of them. And it's partly our fault, because we loved her so much. And I don't mean us, this show. I mean fans in general, who loved her so much in the first year. But that's just that. It just goes to show you, if every housewife is being mean to someone, you'll generally love that person.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, she fell into the trap of so many housewives, which is that she thought she had a little bit more capital with the fans, and tried to trade it in to make sort of like a big move and be obnoxious, and she let the fame get to her, basically. You know, she followed in the footsteps of Jill Zarin and many other people, NeNe, people that we really liked at one point, and then just became monsters. And that's what's happened with Brandy, and Brandy seems totally, she's still painting herself as a victim through all of it, and it's very frustrating. And I am not thankful for Brandy Glanville.
Yeah, Brandy, so take that, sucker. Someone has posted on our Facebook page that Brandy's still going after Lisa on Twitter. So I was so excited to see, because it's supposedly in a Radar Online article, but Radar Online is offline. So bad title for your website.
Yeah. Stupid
now
face.
Called Radar Offline.
Yeah. Yeah. Burn. Exactly. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, jerks.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else happened on here? I'm really liking Lisa Rinna. I think she's super funny.
I'm very curious as to why she has a 25-year-old agent. That seems a little shocking, but, you know, good for her.
I just don't like that she called him hungry when he's so fat. That just seemed rude.
Yeah.
What about fat rights? But, yeah, because old agents are just bored. They're just, like, collecting residuals. And this guy's like, I'm going to make you be famous, girl.
She needs to have someone who basically has no clients, no real clients, and someone who's like young and gay and probably worships the ground she walks on, and who will do anything for her, basically.
This guy has heat miser hair, and he has that annoying laugh that's just going to agree with everything she says. Everything she says, he's like, and like, yeah, it's phrasing in my office, girl. Like, everybody's phrasing in there, but the king gets his way. Ugh, gross.
I know. It's funny because I was watching this at my parents' house, and my mom sort of like bobbed and weaved through the entire thing. But every now and then she sort of like wake up. And at one point, sort of towards the end, you know, because there's always like this, like an hour of like absorbing all this stuff. And then my mom can't take it anymore and leaves, like makes a withering comment. And I'm just, she decides like she's going to go through just... It's just, they're all just so adolescent. And she goes, you know what? This is the show that should have been called Arrested Development. This should have been Arrested Development. And then just went to sleep.
That's funny.
I know.
But I love that he brought Lisa a script for Scream the Series.
Yeah.
Because you know she's going to play the mask. That face. Oh, my God. Every time she laughs, I'm like, no. Too much Botox. Back away from the Botox. Her eyes squint and her mouth opens, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah. By the way, I'd like to announce to everyone that Michelle is back. I am no longer on baby duty. And
the baby's still alive. You did it.
The baby is still alive and well. Michelle, the baby, I think the baby went to the bathroom. I did hear something. And there were a few sort of like little noises.
Yeah.
But overall, she still is asleep and well.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ben. That's very parental and noble of you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I passed the baby test.
You did it.
I did it.
You're free to adopt.
I can now adopt.
I'm gonna give it back to you at some point because I have to go get the laundry like two more times.
So. Oh no! So I will be back on baby duty. So I may have spoken too soon.
Temporarily.
Okay. So we were talking about Lisa. You know, what I don't understand is where is Eileen Davidson? I mean, it sounds like she's finally coming next week.
Yeah, she's coming next week. I wish I would have just brought her early because boring.
Yeah, I have to agree. What did you think about Adrian Malouf's scene?
Well, Adrian Malouf's scene was fine. She wasn't acting like a total bitch on wheels this year because I guess she, you know, like most of them, you get beat up on Twitter and you come groveling back and acting like you were a nice person that whole time and it was just a bad year. So yeah. She pulled that off, I think, and she looked pretty good. But man, when they showed her in that testimonial thing or whatever, what do you call them? Diary rooms on this show? But
confessionals, interviews?
Yeah. When they showed her there, wow, Mickey Rourke. Oh, my God, that face. What is she doing?
It's always been like that, though.
No,
I feel like.
It's worse than ever. Because when she was at lunch with Brandy, she looked okay. But then, oof, up close and freshly fillered. Oof.
Yeah. Girl. Well, my parents' TV has this weird thing where, like, everything's, like, a little bit overexposed. So maybe that worked in her favor with me. So maybe, like, some of the weirder rubbery aspects of her face were sort of bleached out by the TV.
No, it was up close. Here, I'll send you a picture of it right now so you can see it. But yeah, it was scary. Adrienne Malouf, I think she's dealing with Brandy well because she's not really saying anything except she's nodding and staying far away. She's like staying back and nodding. And that's pretty much all you can do with Brandy. Because Brandy's apology was, it wasn't an apology, it was, I didn't mean to hurt your friend, your family. You know, I just did it because I was friends with Lisa and you guys weren't getting along. It's
like, yeah. And I like that Adrian in the interview sort of called her out and just like, listen, you know, like you did this. You got to take accountability. You're trying to pin it on Lisa. It's not Lisa. I'm glad that Adrian didn't actually fall for the bait.
God, there's dogs and babies. I mean, what the hell?
I know.
Thanksgiving. It's like the real Thanksgiving. Next, my mom's going to call to see how much turkey I'm going to eat tomorrow. Make sure I don't go overboard.
Did you see that article in The Onion, by the way? This is off topic. There's an article in The Onion yesterday that was like, this just in, like, news report is that none of the good cousins are coming to Thanksgiving. They're like, it's like, like the family's like is like saddened to learn that like Ken and like Samantha aren't coming to Thanksgiving, which means that none of the good cousins are coming, and we're only left with so and so who is an introvert, and so and so who's going to probably spend the entire time in the kitchen with mom.
Yeah, drunk Aunt Lulu. Yeah.
But all my cousins are cool, so all the good cousins are at my Thanksgiving tomorrow.
My family's not really talking.
Oh, okay.
None of the Lebanese are talking to each other, so that's over. Lebanese Thanksgiving is dead. Thanks a lot, Lebanese people.
All right.
So Yolanda, speaking of annoying family members, Jesus. Yolanda with they need to get rid of Yolanda and Brandy. I think the rest of them are doing fine. Even Kyle, I think, will eventually be fine because she's a shitster. But Yolanda, Yolanda's gonna be talking about her child who's going to college. Don't give a fuck. Got not one fuck.
Like, what is she going to do after the season? This is now, like, this is now going to be the second season in a row of, like, oh, my baby is going off to college now. Like, it's like, I can't deal with it anymore.
After a year of the tabloids insisting that David has been having an affair and is probably leaving Yolanda, we get the scene of Yolanda in her lingerie trying to seduce her husband. Which, let's go back to Ramona Singer and Mario Singer, shall we?
Well, and then what's his face? David Foster. I forgot what he was saying, but I was just like, oh God, this guy's the biggest bullshitter in the world.
That guy's a douchebag.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you know, he's like, when I see her standing there, she's beautiful. I'm so lucky to have a woman like her in my life. It's like, please.
He's gross. He's like, wow, babe. Wow. He didn't even say babe. He's just like, wow, that's cute. Wow, yeah. What a cute lingerie. I'm so lucky. I'm the luckiest man.
Yeah.
But I'm going to Shanghai for child sex. Like, get out of here, David Foster.
But I was very jealous of their beachside view from their dining room.
They're only doing that because they can't sell their house. Okay, I was reading this article on Stupid Housewives about them trying to sell that house. It's been appraised at like $13 million. They're trying to sell it for $26 million, and they lowered it to like $24 million. Bitch, you ain't selling that. It's on the freeway.
Did they mention that there is a like free bazaar on their property?
Yeah. Do you want to buy broom skirt? It is on street. It is on our properties.
By the way, we have to talk about the fact that Lisa Vanderpump has a new maid, and it's like the same story as Lydia from Melbourne. She's like, well, I saw her walking along the street, and I gave her a ride, and I decided to hire her. Yeah. It's like, what's with these like rich women hiring people directly off the street?
Well, you know, it's hard because there's not like a network necessarily of illegal maids. Like one thing I was talking about in the recap is, you know, Lisa knows how to do illegal immigration properly. Like the good thing about illegal immigration is if you were hiring like American cleaning ladies, the cost of that, like one maid would cost you as much as a house a year. You can't just have a live-in American maid. But you get illegals, you can get like five of them for the price of a haircut.
Yeah.
Lisa's just like driving down the street being like, get in the car, darling. All right, yeah. you do the laundry, you make the tea. Rosalita, when I need to pinch someone's arm really hard because I'm angry at Brandy, come up here and let me pinch you, you know, like a stress ball.
They should I could just watch an hour of them bossing around Magdalena. Magdalena, could I have a tea? Then it's like then another buzz. Magdalena, I'll have a tea also. Magdalena, pardon me, Magdalena, could I have a crumpet with a tea, please?
Totally. What's the other? What's the original?
Rocio and Magdalena.
Yeah, she's like, Rocio, darling, could you rub my feet? She's like, no, I don't do feet. She's like, all right, send Magdalena. Magdalena like has to do all the stuff Rocio doesn't want to do.
Yeah, Magdalena like shows up a little tray. Mrs. they should just have their own sitcom, Ro and Mags.
Yeah, because Rocio did not look happy that she had to share screen time with Mags.
Well, she's not going to get the hand-me-downs anymore, right? Wasn't the whole thing that they gave her, like, Rocio all these, like, things? Oh, no, they don't give her the things. Never mind. Wasn't that, like, there were someone's...
Yeah, they gave her a lot of clothes. Lisa was saying she gives her a lot of clothes, and she's spoiled because Rocio's like, can I have this? And she's like, no, darling. That's brand new, you know? Wait till next season, right? And that's really sad because, you know, like, where do Jiggy's clothes go to? One of them, the gardener's probably in, like, Jiggy's old tuxes.
It probably goes to the pink dog, you know, the nameless pink dog.
Can they
just call it pink dog?
Yeah, that's like Ken's future old man wig.
Yeah.
Like when your hair goes blue, I'll be pink, darling. Lisa gets $1,000 shirts made that have Lisa Vanderpump that look like that fake diamond stitching at Disneyland that they put Minnie Mouse on everything.
I know. I liked. I think Michael Cook wrote on our Facebook page. He's like, "Oh, how interesting to see that Lisa Vanderpump gets her shirts tailored by Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor."
Totally, she does look like her. Okay, I'm looking through this recap. Oh, Ben, Adrian Malouf's face. I'm so using this for the cover today. Yikes. Okay,
do it, Ronnie.
I'm seeing what else is here. I think that was pretty much it for Beverly Hills, right?
Yeah, I think we did it. I think we did it.
That's all I wrote down. I'm bored of even talking about that stupid show. Brandy, you're boring me. I'm sorry, audience, if I bored you during that whole thing, but Brandy, okay?
Well, you know what? Next week, Eileen Davidson finally makes her appearance, and I think we're going to start kicking into high gear.
Yay! I hope she brings it. Mm-hmm, I hear she's going to turn evil, so I love it. Because she's a good villain on Days.
Yeah, she was. And I think that she and Lisa Rinna will make for good TV.
I was looking for new Days clips with her, and I found a really good Susan Banks one of her on Days of Our Lives.
Elvis, I'm so scared of that Stefano DeMira. He is mean, 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 Elvis.
Sounds like Portia.
Kind of. She does have that fakey voice and those big teeth. Uh-huh. You want to talk about that one next? Okay, here's all the notes I wrote for Atlanta. Okay. I'm thankful that Kenya did Shakespeare, because that shit was hilarious.
Wait, what was her Shakespeare?
In a Fish Eye Lens. She started blowing on about, like, thou who thus does thouest, does thou and thus Shakespeare, honey. I was like, oh no, Kenya. Now, Kenya knows how to do the victim thing and make it fun. Because
exactly.
Kenya's victimhood is hilarious.
Well, it's so clunky. First of all, there are a few things. It's very clunky. She makes herself a massive victim over very small things. And that's pretty much it. I'm thankful for those two reasons.
She's hilarious. And I was really surprised that when Phaedra found out about Apollo lying about Kenya, that Phaedra was like, oh, poor Kenya. I owe her an apology. I was like, what?
I know. I was surprised, too.
Because, of course, yes, okay, that was a lie that she was saying that she, whatever, that he was saying they hooked up, whatever. We all know the lie. But Kenya's still an asshole, and she was way before he said that. So I'm confused.
Yeah, no, and I'm imagining that that's probably something that's going to come out maybe next week, because it looks like Candy gives some sort of apology to Kenya, and then Kenya's like, you know, it looks like she then says to Candy, like, you can't apologize and then still throw dirt at me, you know? So I'm assuming that's what the gist of that's going to be like.
What's happening to that baby?
The baby has fallen out of the refrigerator now. No, Michelle's making it looks like some sort of stuffing. She's making chicken nuggets. No, I'm good for now, thank you. But you are making stuffing too, right? Yeah. She's making stuffing while I yammer here. It must be interesting for Michelle, because she's only hearing one half of this because my headphones are in. So she probably hears me fall into these strange accents. Wait till Michelle hears my Candy Burris accent. It's funny. So last week when we did the podcast, we had a guest on. We had Ira from BuzzFeed. And, you know, I don't know Ira very well. And, you know, I was feeling a little shy to do my Candy Burris voice. You know, I don't know if you noticed that, Ronnie. But I was a little timid.
I was shy for you. That's scary. That's a scary one to pull out just out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's scary. And, like, you know me. I love to do my strange candy voice. But the good thing with Michelle.
That's my impression of your impression.
Well, the good thing with Michelle is that she's known me for so long that I could do make any weird noises and she'll be okay with it, you know? So if I do my... Yeah, as long as I take care of the baby. That's the name of the Lifetime movie. As long as he takes care of the baby. But,
could you imagine what it was like back in the day before, like, monitors and stuff? They were like, hey, the baby's asleep with the donkey in the other room. I guess, you know, if it's still alive when we come back, we'll just thank, you know, Jehoshaphat.
Yeah. It's honestly amazing anyone was able to survive prior to, like, 1995.
Totally. There's pictures of me when I'm a baby with, like, my mom's holding me, a glass of wine, and there's a cigarette dangling from her mouth.
I'm surprised there wasn't a cigarette dangling from your mouth. Like, as a pacifier.
Not until
you're
I was 12.
Cigarette as a pacifier. Michelle is shocked. Michelle, we're talking about how it's amazing that, like, what babies and parents did, like, before the 90s. Michelle
God,
was, like,
those sirens, man. Sirens ever since the Ferguson thing. Even here we're going crazy. I'm just staying the hell inside, okay? Thanks. That's it.
Yeah, I'm going to have a peaceful Ferguson protest right here in Michelle's apartment.
No kidding. I'm going to go get me a $14 turkey from Trader Joe's and just smell that shit cook for the next 2 days.
I don't even want to get derailed on Ferguson, because that's...
Oh, no,
that,
no. We don't have anything. I don't have anything to add to that. So sad.
There's no way we can talk about Ferguson without probably making everyone mad, because it's just such a loaded topic. But we can talk about Candy Burris.
So sad. Well, I think Ferguson kind of fits in with Kenya, because that Kenya's reaction to, like, the smallest thing is like turning cars over and starting shit on fire. she's like, Apollo lied about me. I'm burning down an auto zone.
Not to imply that Michael Brown's death was the smallest thing. I think that's
no. I'm saying Kenya's reaction is a huge thing to even small
things. No, I know. Yeah, Kenya would be demanding. Well, imagine Kenya and Aviva. People would be like, congratulations, you did it. You got off the hook.
Where's my banner?
Where's my banner for peacefully protesting? That's what Aviva would say. But anyway, so...
The world burns down around us, and we're like, what do you think of Atlanta?
It's the only way to deal with it. This world is totally messed up right now. And if it weren't for Bravo, we would have nothing to make us smile.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right?
Amen to that, brother. Okay, so what are we talking
about? That's why I'm thankful for Bravo. I think we were talking about Kenya. So what did Kenya actually do this episode? I can't remember.
Kenya is friends with Claudia Jordan, so she mostly backed her up today.
Yeah, Kenya just sort of like spread her filth all over a furniture shop. More or less, right?
What do you think of this Claudia Jordan?
I'm on board so far. You know,
she's going to be a mess.
Yeah, I like that she has a resting bitch face, and I think her claws are going to come out soon.
Yeah, she's going to be pretty bad. I mean, and by that I mean deliciously wonderful. I have high hopes for her.
Yes.
And I love that Portia is already totally threatened by her.
Well, Portia was out of control. Well, the whole Portia thing, we can just skip right to that, to Portia and Cynthia. You know, because they had to sit down over their fabricated feud. And Cynthia is now all of a sudden a bitch on wheels, but Portia is too. And they were so nasty to each other. It was like the worst example of modern women interacting.
Well, Portia's just a brat. She's like a 5-year-old. She has no feelings for anybody else's.
Yeah.
Like, she shows up an hour late and doesn't even say sorry. She's just like, hello. Hello.
Yeah. Cynthia's like, you're an hour late. She's like, oh, okay.
But then Cynthia's like the evil stepmother who's going to hate you no matter what you say.
Yeah.
So, you've got those two battling it out. Neither one of them has a brain cell between them. And that was just painful to listen to. And also, usually in those shows, they'll go to an empty restaurant or they'll seat them in like a private area. But they were in like a Starbucks, basically.
Yeah.
They were like at a Pete's Coffee House.
Well,
sitting in the middle of the room, surrounded by people trying not to crack up the whole time.
I know. Well, I'm sure it was empty by the time when Cynthia got there. And then by the time Portia got there, she was probably like, she's like, I'm sorry, I was waiting for the Underground Railroad and it just did not come.
Do you know how hard it is to wait underground?
She's like, I put money on my MetroCard and everything.
I couldn't even breathe down there. I wonder how dead people do it.
It was nasty. I mean, Cynthia was being totally like she was not open to anything. Perhaps rightfully so. And
no, I think what Portia was saying. I think Portia was being a total idiot, but what she was saying was true. Cynthia's acting like they're friends, and then she's going off and saying different things in interviews, depending on where her alliances lie. It's like once she decided her friendship with Nene was over, then she turned against Portia too, without even telling Portia, just to do it. You know, Cynthia's a fucking idiot, and she's a follower, and she's trying to act like she's got all this, you know. Gravitas suddenly. It's like, bitch, please. Yeah. You're only doing that because Kenya's telling you to. And it's so obvious because you can't even form an argument. And when you're doing it in front of Peter, she's like, well, I'm not taking it, Peter. And he's like, yeah, okay, babe. Can I have $20? She's like, sure, honey.
Yeah.
Shut up. Like, you're still a wuss, okay? And those glasses don't make you look smart. And those fillers make you look stupid. You're a model, age gracefully. Stop it.
Fibroids this, fibroids that.
Yeah.
Well, either way, though, I mean, I do see that point about, like, Cynthia waffling and everything. But also, Portia shouldn't, like, her response should not be to be such a brat about it. She should just take the high road. But, you know, again, this is a woman who thinks the Underground Railroad is an actual MTA system. So she doesn't, I can't even imagine what she thinks the high road is.
Well, Portia's arguments usually end with your feet are ashy. So, what do you expect? That was my favorite Portia fight, that first one she got in with Kenya, where she's like, okay, bye, ashy.
Oh, my God. I'm sad that Portia's not a regular cast member because she still is wildly entertaining.
I think that it's good that she's just still going to be on it, but not be. I don't need to see her at home sitting in that big cavernous house that she can't afford. Oh, and I love that Cynthia called her out on dating some old man for bags and cars, because that has been the rumor that Portia's been a whore. And yeah. Now we know where that rumor is coming from. So mm-hmm. Thanks for clearing that one up.
Yeah. I think that Portia should be a cast member and not Nini. I mean, all Nini did was, like, she showed up at Portia's door, and Portia, like, talked about this whole thing. Portia just gossiped like crazy about Cynthia's party. And then all Nini did was go, "The thirst is real, child. The thirst is real," which was funny. It was actually really funny. But, like, Nini was doing nothing. Portia was more of a cast member than Nini. Nini was doing the friend of role.
Yeah, she was just rolling her eyes and making, you know, snarky comments. Nini's pointless. I don't know why we're even dealing with Nini on the show anymore. She needs to go.
Yeah, she definitely needs to go.
If she's so confident in her career, she needs to just go have it and stop taking her $1 million a year from Housewives. I think she's at like $1.5 million this year or something.
I wouldn't be surprised if they canned her. You know, she's not doing anything on the show. She's not entertaining, and she's hella expensive. I think her time has come.
God, more sirens. What is going on out there? I'm afraid to go.
Don't go. Stay inside.
They're probably burning down a Whole Foods out there.
Yeah, good. It's about time.
no by the kidding. Way, let's protest those lemons being $5. I went to get a zucchini. It was $2. Okay.
No.
I swear to you, it was $170 something.
Jesus. Question, did you see, by the way, Lisa Wu on Watch What Crappens, on Watch What Happens?
No.
She was on on Atlanta, and God, she looks different in a weird way. She's like really aged. So when I think she was on there with Candy, and so when Andy did like a, "Hey everyone, like coming up tonight at 11, we have Candy Burris and Lisa Wu," and I was like, before he said Lisa Wu, I thought for sure, I was like, "Oh, look, there's like Jack Kay or like Pebbles." I thought it was like one of the two of them. I was like, "Oh, it's Candy with like an older black woman." And it sort of looks like Jack Kay maybe, because, you know, like sort of like, you know, Lisa is like half Asian, so she has like the almond shaped eyes. And Jack Kay sort of has that. So I was like, "Oh, maybe that's like Jack Kay." Like,
wow, it's Pearl from 227.
Wow, it's Marla Gibbs. I think that's Marla Gibbs. This is why Ferguson is a thing right now. So and then it was like Lisa Wu. I couldn't believe it. And she was like all like she kept on like shifting and moving a lot in her seat. It was very strange.
Yeah, Lisa Wu is on some other show now, right?
Like yes, Divas, Hollywood Divas.
Hollywood Divas. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but Lisa Wu's back.
She's back. At last, America has a sigh of relief.
Wipe those brows. Lisa Wu is back.
It's Lisa Wu.
You can go around the neighborhood and stop taking down all those missing signs. We found her.
Yes. The great drought has come to an end. Pop culture can breathe again.
So what else happened in Atlanta?
Todd's daughter, I forget her name. So she moved in. And so Candy and Todd sat down, the girl and Riley, and it was hilarious because Riley had some Mama Joyce in her, that's for sure.
Oh my God, yes.
It was honestly like Riley, but you know what though? I did not disagree with what Riley said, because they were asking this girl, you know, she's 18, and it's like, now what's she going to do? She's like, I guess, you know, I'd like to work in fashion, like maybe work in a fashion line or sort of fashion line.
She's like, I want to start my own fashion line.
Oh, wait, but I'm back on baby duty. Everyone, get ready.
We're going to start a shoe line made out of baby leather.
But then, like, I like that Riley, they're like, Kenny's like, "See now, Riley, what do you think about it, Riley?" And then Riley's like, "Well, no, it wouldn't be me because, you know, I'd be in college."
So funny. Yeah, that was pretty shady. And it's funny how they're both looking at each other like they just hate each other's guts already. Come on, girls. My favorite part was when Todd's like, "Well, what do you guys think about allowance?" And Riley's like, "I don't want allowance." He's like, "What? Who doesn't want allowance?" And she's like, "That'll put a limit on my money."
See? Now, Riley, she can, like, negotiate and, like, Riley don't want no drama. No drama. Don't want no allowance, won't be no allowance.
I love Riley. I don't care. So far, she's okay because she hasn't started screaming at people like Mama Joyce yet.
Yeah.
I used to like Mama Joyce, too.
Yeah. Riley is an angel. Riley, she's such a lovely girl, and she's so pretty, and she has a good singing voice. Remember that clip that came out?
Yeah, she's so talented.
I'm happy for her. I think Candy is a doll, even if she does indulge her mother too much.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I love me some Candy, too. I think she's great. I don't like drama. Don't start none, there won't be none.
Don't start none, won't be none.
Riley, don't start no drama. I can't do it too loud.
I'm afraid I'm going to wake up the baby. And since I'm on the baby.
Todd's like, yeah, babe, I'm going to be going to L.A. for a few weeks. She's like, see.
See.
Now.
See.
Now, you're going to be flying direct.
Todd, take Delta.
See. See. Now.
Oh, see. Candy. Now. What else happened on this show? Oh, Apollo with the lawyer.
Oh my God, this guy, like the only divorce attorney in all of Atlanta. This guy is a professional leech on this cast at this point.
And really, he's done nothing for the men on this show. I don't know why they keep going to him. Todd never got what he wanted and still got married. And then he sent his friend to him. Todd, why would you do that to your friend? You know he's not good. Todd, you signed the prenup. That means your lawyer did nothing for you. Why are you sending somebody else to him?
This guy has represented Nini, Portia, Todd, and now Apollo.
Oh, my God. But I love Apollo just trying to sound intelligent, where he kind of squints his eyes and use what he thinks are big words.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. He's like, because
I'm going to go to jail, and then I need to make sure that my sustenance is still in the substance of the house. Because, you know, Phaedra's smart, and I love her, but I hate her, too. And I got to know that the sustenance is going to be available in my itineraries.
He's like, oh no.
There's a lot of like therefore and to the effects of and perpetuity. It's like, well, you know, to the effect that like, you know, he's like, I am the man of the household, like in perpetuity, like therefore it is in fact, I need to make sure that I am taken care of in perpetuity for the effect that therein I am the father.
He is smart. He's smart enough to know that he's screwed when he gets out of jail though, because Phaedra ain't giving him shit. He signed a prenup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And unless he's got actual evidence to blackmail her with, which I don't think he's smart enough to even keep, he's screwed. And she's not giving him anything. And he's not going to get any kind of alimony or anything.
Yeah. And I like how he is sort of saying, like, yeah, when I get out of jail, I'm not going to have anything. And I'm basically going to have to resort to a life of crime again. It's like, dude, why don't you just go to work at McDonald's at the very least? Go to McDonald's.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to go from, what did he say?
Season
like,
ticket holder.
I'm a season ticket holder and work in the Starbucks or something. Oh, yeah, McDonald's, yeah.
I'm like, guess what? It's Atlanta. Like, I'm sure everyone who's a season ticket holder in Atlanta is also working at Burger King. Like,
yeah, just keep like, working.
No one has
You'll
money
find someone
down there.
Rich who will take care of you. You're hot, okay? You've got a leg up.
Honestly, he should just go into porn. He could do that.
He probably will. And he will literally have a leg up.
You will literally. Like, I would watch that.
Yeah, I'd watch it. Once. Yeah. But you know, he's like one of those guys who would be in porn and they'd be really great at the sex part, but then when you turn up the volume, they'd be like, eh. they'd be making horrible noises.
Like, oh yeah. Do it, yeah, take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, take it. Oh yeah, doctor.
Ooh. Did somebody here order a pizza? Is there a sink that needs to be repaired? I'm slowly turning him into Edith Bunker. Hey, Archie! I got a pizza! I got a pizza here!
Oh, Archie!
Boy, the way Apollo came over.
Got a pizza for some girls.
Then he slapped someone with his dick.
Those were the days.
I would like to mention Michelle just walked back in just as I was saying.
Just as we had a lovely All in the Family song about someone getting slapped in the face with their dick. Oh.
Baby duty. That's good news. Oh, the baby's making noise. Good timing.
Like, ah.
I think the baby heard the All in the Family theme song.
I think the baby heard Lunch Walk In.
Yeah. So what else happened on this?
Could you stick to a diet if the McDonald's just walked right past you putting groceries away?
No, never. Never.
I think we're done with Housewives of Atlanta, ain't we?
Ain't we? Why don't we go on to Vanderpump Rules?
That show's hilarious.
So good, even when nothing's happening.
Even just reading my notes, which I no longer understand, but beer on the street, threading, nose shirt, dressed up for cable box, panic attack. Even Jax can do that. John cries. Who's John? Was I a trooper?
Yeah.
Could you make me a tea without a panic attack? Yeah. Show's so all funny. Right.
So where do we even begin? I guess one thing was that Jax got a nose job. Which I think is actually
really and his deserved. Eyebrows threaded. That whole first scene of the guys drinking beer that they were pouring for themselves on the street and then taking, getting drunk and going to get their eyebrows threaded is while talking about how one of the girlfriends is emasculating one and the other one's about to get a nose job because of a, what do you call it?
A deviated septum.
Yeah, deviated septum. That was the best example of the young American male. And Lisa later on in the episode when she's like, I don't understand these American men. They're getting their eyebrows threaded. One of them got a nose job for pure vanity. And what was the other thing?
I don't remember, but
shit was hilarious. And it was a true representation of the modern American male.
Yeah. No, I thought that the entire thing was hilarious. I liked Tom micromanaging his eyebrow threading. I liked Jax. By the way, Jax, his surgeon, his plastic surgeon, was really hot. Did you notice that guy? He was hot.
Yeah, he was cute.
Hello.
And I love that the surgeon had a big old honking nose too. You know, I love surgeons who are confident enough to not be like plastic faced. They're like, haha, you're not confident in yourself, but I am. I don't give a fuck because I'm rich off the money your ugliness brought me. Yay, me.
I liked, I felt like a lot of the stuff when he was recovering in his home, I felt like that all felt very staged. Like, I felt like everything was kind of like, it all just felt fake, but I still thought it was funny when Sheena came over and was like, hey, I write donuts. Sheena.
Sheena's so pretty when she's not wearing like 10 pounds of makeup too. I mean, she's pretty with her 10 pounds of makeup, but she's like such a legit pretty girl.
She is pretty, and she's actually, I mean, she's done some stuff to her face. I don't think it's necessarily surgery, but I think it may be like fillers or this or that. It's like, it's really unnecessary. She didn't have to do that.
Yeah, I think she just got a little carried away. You know, they just don't understand the time between getting your Botox and letting it settle. And also fillers. Like, you don't just walk out looking normal. You need to give it a couple weeks. Like, I think that's Lisa Rinna's thing, too. She's like, I'm going to be on TV tomorrow. I better go fill up. No.
Yeah.
Do that 2 weeks before so you're not numb.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Yeah. Do I have to teach you people everything?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the things that happened. So,
well, someone on our Facebook was saying Jax has a boner in when he's getting operated on, and I rewound it 3 times to see. And so, of course, I sat there rewinding it to see, and I could not find a boner, but I was sitting there like 5 times, like, is it a boner? And then I got on my computer and slow-mo'd it and was like, is it a boner? And then I realized how little I have going on in my life.
I just want to know, how is it that Jax, my friends and I were emailing about this, he really has gotten so fat in the face, and yet his body is still, like, fantastic. How does that work? Fillers.
Yeah.
He just has face old. Fillers.
Yeah. Everybody's getting fillers now.
Yeah.
Except me. I fill my face with good old-fashioned cholesterol. I do it the natural way by eating a lot of M&Ms.
Yes. That's the best way. Who needs fillers when you've got junk food?
Yeah. Natural fillers. Everybody needs to go back to eating fat.
Yeah.
And M&Ms.
Well, I think that fat is now becoming more accepted as like part of a healthy diet.
Well,
right?
Not it's, the kind I'm sugar. Talking about. Not Papa John's, for Christ's sake.
Oh, yeah, not Papa John's fat.
Oh, yeah, now sugar is evil.
Yeah, sugar is the bad one now.
I've been on a plan trying to get myself back in some kind of working order. And last night, I really realized how far I've let this go because I made a cauliflower pizza crust. Okay?
Wow.
Which is basically like a piece of wet sponge with garlic powder on it. And I ate it. I was like, this is delicious. So there you go. That's where the world is going.
By the way, Adriana, you comment on our Facebook page a lot, and I have no idea how to say your last name.
Grayzak.
Cool. It's like Grayzak, Grayzak.
Grayzak, I think. There's so many like accents. There's like an accent on an E, under an E, and then like over a K and around an A. I'm like, what the hell?
It's like emoticons dangling everywhere. Yeah.
My name is Martini Glass Smiley Face Wink Wink.
By the way, I tried to write an emoticon on the Facebook page and I messed up. I made a shark. But so Adriana says, and I totally thought the same thing. She goes, am I the only one who was surprised Jax knew what Morgan Stanley is? Because at one point, Tom Schwartz is talking about how he had this panic attack when he was in the middle of his first shift. And 30 minutes into his first shift at Pump, he didn't know how to use the system, the POS system, the point of sale system. And he just freaked out and left. And so he was like all nervous about it afterwards. And Jax is like, listen, you didn't walk out of a job at Morgan Stanley. You walked out of a bartending gig, which was like surprisingly salient of Jack. But I was like, how does Jax know what Morgan Stanley is? I'm surprised he wasn't like, who's Morgan Stanley? Can I date her? I'm going to get a tattoo of Morgan Stanley on my bicep because I'm in love with her.
That's the girl who gave me syphilis.
Dating this new girl named Morgan Stanley. She sends me all these letters in the mail. Like, they're really love letters. It's sort of weird because there are a lot of them are just sort of like a bunch of numbers, but I think that's sort of like her code. I think it's like, it's a playful game, you know? So anyway, I'm going to go fuck her.
Oh, I love that the friends got him a shirt with his nose on it. That was his old nose.
Yeah.
Oh, they're also doing this thing on Vanderpump Rules, this Schindler's List thing, which is so funny, where every flashback they show black and white unless someone is wearing pink.
Yeah.
So, and then they'll show pink because that's like Lisa's color.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys know that this is from a movie about the Holocaust, right?
Yeah. It's like, where's the little girl?
This show is full of so many just little fun details. And somebody last week pointed out, and when the opening credits came on this week, I laughed out loud because someone on Facebook pointed out that the opening is all the waiters being so bad that they're all spilling their drinks.
I know. That's I always think that. I always think it's the funniest thing. They would just like stop and the machines go flying forward. So did you see that Jennifer Lawrence was at Pump like over the weekend?
Yeah, she's a huge Bravs fan.
Yeah. Oh, two things. So she was at Pump and she and her friends tried to like recreate the Vanderpump Rules opening credits, which I thought was hilarious. So here's my second thing. I think we have to somehow create some sort of movement to get Jennifer Lawrence to come on this podcast. She loves Bravo. Why would she not come on? Other than the fact that she's an Oscar-winning actress in the top movies in the country.
Well, maybe we'll be casting a J-Law movie and we can get her on here.
I say let's mobilize our listeners and say, listeners, put the pressure on. Somehow we have to get Jennifer Lawrence on our show.
I wouldn't even know what to say. I'd be like, hi, you're so pretty.
Our shows get like somewhere between 8,000 to 10,000 listens per episode. So someone of the 10,000 people, someone has got to have an in with Jennifer Lawrence, right? Right?
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
It's gotta be,
I thought this
right?
was what you were gonna say to her. I thought this you were giving me the pitch to her. J-Law, we've got 10,000 people.
Who listen
to this podcast. If you multiply that by a $15 movie ticket, that's a lot of money for your movie. Will you come on?
Yeah, because I know that Mockingjay Part 1 underperformed. So, you know, if you had our help. Well, in the context of Hunger Games.
Be there tomorrow or the day
after. It only
after.
Earned $124 million as opposed to $150
Jesus, in one weekend? God.
Either way, this world is insane. Either way, I say let's mobilize the masses. Let's get J-Law. If she comes on here, I'll start crying.
Chris Farley. I'll be like, remember Hunger Games? Remember when you were in that movie? That was so cool.
We can promise her that if she comes on the show, we'll just all sit and cry. We'll just cry.
I'm sure she loves that.
We'll all just cry together.
You know who else went to Sir? Lance Bass. Wow. So just as impressive.
Oh, yeah. Looking very dandy with his dapper hair.
And his silent, hot husband named Tarzan.
Yeah, Turkey, I thought.
Oh, Turkey. Yeah, that's right.
Don't they call him Turkey?
Yeah, I guess it's is Turkey.
His his last name is like Turkmenistan or Turkestan or Turkey.
I thought it was Tarzan.
Oh, maybe it is Tarzan. I thought it was Turkey.
Let's look it up.
Either way, well, so Lisa was having dinner with them, and when she was having dinner with them, James, the British busboy, came by begging for his job again. And so James goes up to Peter, is like, I just came here to speak to Lisa, to want to talk about getting my job back. And so then Peter goes into Lisa, and he's like, oh, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but James is here, the fired busboy is here. Do you have a moment to talk to him? She's like, no, he's a pain in my ass. But we do need bussers. I'm like, oh, please. Like, they're so hard to find. I mean, she found a cleaning lady walking up her street. She can't find a busboy?
Lisa is just such an unapologetic bitch on the show. I love it. And I love that James was like, my parents and Lisa have been friends for years. And so I'm sure I'll get my job back. Because if not, she'd be quite a monster. And then this is right after Lisa last week was like, you know, I've met his mother once at a party or something. He's telling everyone we're best friends. Yeah, you know, it's not the case. I barely know his mother. So I love that Lisa doesn't even give a crap that she's hurting some poor lady's feelings. Because you know that lady's horrified. And she's...
Yeah.
Because they're not as rude. Well, they're ruder in a way, I guess, over there. But they also are, like, try to pretend they have manners. You know, she's probably, like, mortified in high society.
Yeah. Well... One thing that I really enjoyed with James was that he and Horseface number one were like at a gym, sort of hanging out and talking. And they were, again, talking about Tom and Ariana. And I just thought it was funny because Horseface was like, you know, like when I see them, they're just like, they're not even like a real couple. Like when I see them, they're just like a joke. And I'm like, you realize you're saying this as we're watching you with the 21-year-old busboy who claims to be a DJ and drives a BMW, but again, is a busboy. Like, you want to talk about joke relationships. I mean, like, how, like, there's just never been anyone who has been the kettle and pot situation as much as Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen needs to kind of go away now. She served her purpose.
Seriously?
Seriously, Tom? We don't have to be best friends or anything. I love when Stassi was dared to go over to their table and talk and just totally dissed everybody and then walked away. And then she's like, that went better than I thought.
Seriously?
Seriously,
Stassi? And then she goes over, she's like, well, you know, like me and Tom, like Tom, we've put it in the past. Like it's all in the past now. Seriously?
What about Stassi pretending that she's like Jackie Onassis now that she's not a waiter because she's married to a rich or she's dating a rich person?
Oh my God. I like when she's like, now that I've been away for 5 months, I realize how awful all these people are. Like I see it now. I'm like, no, I don't think you actually see it because you're still participating in it and you're still hanging out with them and you're still associating yourself.
And you're still the worst.
And you're still the one who's behaving the
worst. She's like, why are you even friends with her? Why are you talking to her? I mean, I don't understand you guys. She fucked him. You fucked her. They fucked them. I mean, this is disgusting. You people are crazy.
I wish she would get back to not dressing so matronly. I don't know why that bothers me. It really bothers me when women dress matronly when they're 24, 25. Michelle is nodding yes. Michelle, by the way, is currently eating, I believe, chicken nuggets on the couch and nodding her head at the matronly comment.
Well, it's true. People always act, you know, when you're young, you always want to look older. And then when you're older, you always want to look younger. You know, you just can't fucking win.
Right. Well, you know, Stassi is, you know, she's for some reason she's always viewed herself as like a style maven. But I think actually her style is worse this season than it's ever been.
Stassi?
I mean, everything she wears is like.
Well, she started with that mom hair.
Yeah.
And she still has. Yeah, it's just gone slowly, slowly downhill.
Well, she has all these little blazers. I mean, I feel like a lot of times blazers – now, again, I'm someone who actually has very little fashion sense, but I feel like when women wear blazers, it makes them look older. Right, Michelle?
I don't have a thought on that, but I think just in general she's trying to act like she's 40, but people who are 40 don't want to be 40. So just stop it because you're pissing us off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, Michelle says it depends on the context, like in a business context. And, of course, in a business context, a blazer is fine. But I think if you're trying to be like – young and hip,
And like Hollywood, I think a blazer is not always the right choice.
No, like girls in Hollywood dress with micro mini short things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like a loose see-through wife beater with a black bra or something. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
If you're not dressed like a whore, you're not doing it right. Where do you think you are, young lady? It's like you saw Beauty and the Beast on Broadway, so now you think you're cultured. She's going to start walking around with a pipe next week.
I feel like it just makes her look like Bette Midler in the 80s.
Oh, my God. Bette Midler calling Ariana Grande a whore is the best
thing
that happened.
Did she? Is that what happened? Is that something that happened?
Well, she's saying, oh, honey, you don't have to dress like a whore just to get attention. You're talented. You know, you don't need to be a whore. It's like, bitch, please. You came from the bathhouses making fucking dick jokes. What are you talking about?
I'm all for it. I mean, even though I don't think that Ariana Grande dresses like a whore, but necessarily. But I think it's – I love when people like Bette Midler suddenly try to get into the mix.
Like they're suddenly mature.
Like that. Like Bette Midler going after Ariana Grande is like the most random feud. I'm on Bette Midler's side no matter what. I'm automatically on Bette Midler's side. Yeah. And Michelle just goes, you love her. like Ben, you might as well just let the audience know that you do love
Bette Midler. That's in our DNA. I love Bette Midler too, but she is kind of full of shit.
Big Business was sort of like a turning point in my life.
Oh my God. Is a frog's ass watertight? I love Big Business. I want to do a one-man rock opera of Big Business with different wigs and a mirror.
Do you know, can I tell you something? I very frequently get the musical score of Big Business in my head. And that was like a score that was never released on CD because it's like generic synthesizer music. There's like the montage music when country Bette Midler goes walking down Fifth Avenue, goes dun 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 dun. And then a saxophone comes in. You can imagine David Foster like overseeing it.
That was a golden era of film.
No, yeah, that was a great time.
I have Big Business, Soap Dish.
I have Big Business on
Blue. I love Big Business. I used to
actually, Michelle, I was with you when I got it. I was with you. I found it for $5 at Target. Perhaps the greatest deal in Target history. $5, Big Business.
That movie holds up. I've watched a few movies from that time recently, just randomly, and one of them was Troop Beverly Hills. Does not hold up.
I've actually never seen Troop Beverly Hills.
Doesn't work the same. They should remake that with somebody fabulous.
Are you implying that Shelley Long is not fabulous?
I thought so at the time. I really liked Shelley Long, but oof, that movie did not hold up. It was like a puppet show. No to that movie. No.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Anyway, back to Bravolines. Where were we? Stassi's an old lady now.
Oh, we should talk a little bit about Schwartz and his panic attack.
Yeah, panic attack is next.
So, yeah, basically he couldn't handle a bartending gig. And I understand that it's like scary and stressful. But, you know, when you're in Hollywood, if you are like a bartender and you're doing a bad job, you know, it's like it doesn't matter. You know, like no one does a good job.
Especially at somewhere like Pump where they're basically there to see Lisa possibly pass by or Ken holding Jiggy and like drink a gigantic $20 martini. Like
exactly.
How like, hard can it be? No one's expecting the service to be good. Did you see it was an audition to get a fucking job there that she made people take off their shirts for? So
yeah. And if anyone is going into the Pump bar and they want to try one of the specialty cocktails and are expecting anything that tastes actually any good, that's their fault, you know? Like, because there's no way. I mean, like, Jax is a bartender there. You know, Tom should not have stressed out about making sure that the cocktail was right and good because it's gonna be crap even if it was made perfectly.
Yeah. And I love that he left because he's – well, first of all, being in the weeds when you're a – sir, you know, I used to be a waiter. So that's terrifying when you're in the weeds and you just want to please people and you can't and everybody hates you and they, like, hate you to your face. Like, that's harsh to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an easy part of humanity. I get it. I would have nightmares. You know, every waiter has nightmares where you have all these tables and you can't get to them and it just doesn't work out. And they'll go on all night long and I'll wake up still sweaty and terrified. So yeah. I get it. But then I love when his girlfriend is just like, oh my God, even Jax can do this job.
She has a point, though.
I mean,
she
does have a point. Like, there's two other people there. Who cares? It's not brain surgery. You pour the drink. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that he's like, whoever was ordering from him probably already knew him from TV and was just already happy just to be talking with him. If he said, like, hold on a second, I'm sorry, it's like my first day, or I'm just learning, like, I'm really, really sorry. Like, there's just so many ways around it. I remember one time when I was like 13 or 14, I like agreed to be like, do you like the coat check at my synagogue for some event? There was like some event happened at my synagogue. And I was like, okay, I'll do coat check.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Coat check was because like all these coats come in all at once and you have to like hang them up and then like take a thing and give it to people. It sounds so simple, but when you have like 100 coats all of a sudden, it's like it's really hard and scary and it's like it's terrifying. But if you have the fear in your eyes, people may get frustrated, but I think they understand. There's like empathy that happens.
You definitely have to have like a certain air of confidence. People just don't fuck with you. You know, there's so much right now about poor people uprising and just they're fed up and they deserve to get paid more. And people are like, oh, please, those are no skill jobs. Why the fuck would you make more money for having no skills and not going to college and nah. But you know what? As someone who's been a low skill worker for a very long time, the low skill work is sometimes the hardest fucking thing to do. You know, like you don't really understand how painful working a coat check can be until you've actually had to do it. It's scary as hell.
Yeah. Coat checks, like, you know, towards the end of the night when people needed to go, it was fine. I mean, the only time it gets really scary is if you've, like, messed up. But when it's, like, a thing, when people, everyone ever arrives at once, you know, or if everyone departs at once. Like, valets, I feel so bad for valets when, like, an event lets out. And then all of a sudden they have to run back and forth. Like, that is hard. That's super, super hard and difficult.
Yeah, I mean, look at those Walmart workers. They just want, like, $10. I mean, they're not even asking for much. And people are like, why would we pay you to work at Walmart? That's basically, you know, a monkey job. And, you know, how would you feel if you had to stand there at the entrance and say hi to people all day that just called you a retard and slapped you on the back of the head with a banana? I wouldn't want to work at Walmart either. That shit's scary. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad for the
some poor people. Just no one on Vanderpump Rules.
I feel bad for the Walmart workers when you get trampled tomorrow night. Because that's going to happen. There will be trampling.
God, Black Friday. Oh,
but then we get all those videos. I love Black Friday riot videos. Those are my favorite.
Oh, well, I'll talk about it on the bonus episode. But yeah, that's that's going to be pretty amazing. And I'm so glad that I'm poor again this year because I won't have to go out there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, doesn't everyone know about Amazon? Like, just order it online.
I still haven't really quite understood that yet. I think a lot of it should just be clothes that you're buying out because you have to try that shit on. But everything else, yeah, buy online.
Yeah, like I can't wait for Black Friday deals. I mean, I don't really have too much to get, but I've really gotten into board games over the past few weeks. This really dorky side of me has come out, and I'm hoping to find some good deals on board games because board games have gotten expensive. They're like $45. I'm like,
whoa,
yeah. Really? Well, some are like more like $30 or $25, but like the good ones are like $45. So I'm hoping that they may get like marked down to like $25 or $20. Like I have two games I really want to get, and they're expensive. And I'm like, you know, I'm poor. I'm like driving Uber. You know, I can't just like drop $45 on a board game, even though I already have.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You know, but
that's
I'm not going to like
a stupid game.
It's fine for one game, but I don't want to get in the habit of, you know, over and over and over again. But anyway, should we move on to Euros of Hollywood?
Well, we have a couple more things.
Oh, by all means.
Why does Jackson have a dildo in his bed?
Oh, I think they gave him the dildo.
Addressed?
No, they gave it to him as a present.
Who did? His friends?
Yeah, as like a joke. Because it's like the whole thing is that when someone's passed out, they draw a penis on their face. So since they didn't do that, they got him a dildo. You know, because
it's a very high-minded
group.
I was like, what is he doing? Because I saw him lay down and then pull out a dildo, and I was like, oh no. And then I just wrote, I love Lisa, making fun of Tom for having a panic attack. I guess that is it. Darn it. It felt like there was so much more.
There's so much. Well, they got into a big fight at the OK magazine party. That was a party that I was actually supposed to go to with Katie. Katie went to that party. And she invited me, and I couldn't make it, and I was so bummed because she had said like she had been tipped off that like the Vanderpump Rules kids would be there, and that like Kristen and James would be there, and no one knew, and there's gonna be a surprise, da 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 da. But I actually, so in anticipation of this episode, I had a lot of FOMO because I was like, oh no, this is the party I didn't get to go to, and if they have a big fight, I'm gonna be so mad that I missed it. But I think it was pretty tame.
Yeah, it looks stupid.
So stupid.
And it's like Stassi says, those sponsored Hollywood parties, it's like the same D-list people go over and over and just drink
for free
and like congratulate each other for being on TV or something.
I know. Seriously?
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 Seriously, Tom?
Seriously?
Seriously. So last, but definitely not least, are the Euros of Hollywood.
Euros of Hollywood. I just love this show. I wonder if anyone's watching it. Probably not, but I love it.
Everyone hates this show, but yeah, I'm laughing so much at this show. And when Massimo booked an acting job, I almost started crying because he was so cute.
Yeah, you know, Massimo seems so sweet and so nice.
He's like, bullshit. I've achieved the American dream.
He's like, I now have a role in a movie. I'm so happy now. Like, I have finally achieved the stardom. And it's like some cheap, like, direct-to-DVD movie shot in Romania where he's like a killer of some sort.
He's called the Handler. He's like, no, my name is Handler. Yeah. And I would like to tell all of the children out there, you can do it too. Just keep trying. Like, oh no, girl, you're like an extra. You need to save the speech. But it was still so cute when he was crying.
You know, because I get it too. You know, like, you know, being a writer, you know, being up for gigs, like when you do finally land something, it's like this amazing feeling. And I have a lot of friends who are actors, and you know, you know, actors, especially actors, go through so much rejection. So, you know, I was happy for him, even if it is some stupid job. Like,
yeah,
whatever, a job is a job.
He's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's a sweet guy.
I do like Massimo, and I like his friendship with Fanny. Fanny.
He's like, will you go over my lines with me? And she's like, okay.
She's like, I can go over the lines because the lines are my life.
She's like, please stop the spitting.
There's no reason for spitting. In Austria, we do not spit.
I have been artist all my life. And I have 500 paintings, and I write poetry and journal entry on them. This one say, my tummy hurt, tum-tum hurt. Ow, tummy, stop my spitting.
My mother was a ballerina, and so I feel like it has very nurtured the art in me and my life.
My life.
I know that was the word that she says. That sounds like British. Almost like what's it called? Like low class British Cockney. Yeah, she's like, this is my life. This is it. This is my life. Please stop spitting on my ad.
I was impressed that she's actually got that much art. I mean, she's actually been doing it forever. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it may not necessarily be my style, but it wasn't just like. It wasn't like on Real Housewives of Melbourne where they just like put a bunch of paint on a canvas and then said, oh, look at this. This is art now. There was artistry behind it and skill.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I was actually
good for
shocked.
Fanny. I know. I was impressed. Fanny basically just had her art. And then she made up with Bliona. But we have to talk about Bliona for a second. Okay, so here's the thing with Bliona. She is claiming that she's 29 years old. And
oh, my God. Girl, please.
No, I know. Major girl, please. Because, all right. First of all, I don't know of any 29-year-old that dresses like a 55-year-old the way she does. If you want to talk about dressing matronly, I mean, she makes Stassi look like a harlot. She is wearing these little blazers and like old lady clothing, and then her apartment is like full of these kind of like antiquated old world picture frames and like teapots. It's like so not a 29-year-old pop star. It's ridiculous.
I just looked her up, and on Wikipedia it says she was born in 1979.
No. Bliona is not younger than us. Bliona is not 29.
Well, this says she would be 35, but still, I'm not believing that. I'm guessing like 39 or 40.
Oh, definitely 39.
Right?
39. Wait,
No. Oh, wait. Sorry. I thought I was about to get some special information about them, but I'm not. I'm not getting it.
Yeah. I think she looks good for her age, but not if it's 29. If she's 29, she looks terrible for age. But otherwise, yeah. She looks really good for her age. Oh, my God. You guys, do yourself a favor.
Yes.
And do an image search of Bleona. Just put in Fleona and do an image search and look at this craziness. This is crazy.
I'm looking her up right now.
Oh my God. Okay, one of them, she's wearing like a skin tight, see through white glittery thing that goes down to her vajayjay, and her boobs are all out.
Actually, there's the second picture of her is not bad that I see. She sort of has, a like a fake tan going on.
Yeah, with a blue sparkly top. Yeah, she's pretty. I mean, she's a beautiful woman, I think.
She is, but she's not 29 at all. I also think something's up with her hair. I'm always loath to really go into the way people truly look on this podcast, but I have to say, I think she's had like hair plugs. Is that strange for me to say?
Hair plugs?
Look at her hairline. Just look. You know, it's sort of. I don't know. I could be massively wrong.
It is kind of weird. Like, it's kind of fuzzy around the line.
Well, it's just like I've noticed all season. Someone actually that I watched with said, like, their first instinct was to say that actually her hair probably started lower and she got it, like, lasered up. But I think it's the other way. Because I noticed in this past episode, there just seemed to be, like, this weird, like, thinness where her hairline starts. And then, like, it goes in, like, an inch and then it suddenly gets thick, you know? So that's why.
Oh my God! Now I'm like staring at all these pictures of her hairline.
It's just like something looks awry. She's also these images. She's definitely not 29. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, some of these, like this president, this picture with her and LBJ.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I think she was 29 then.
This picture of her guesting on Gilligan's Island makes me really wondering if she's 29.
Wow, a tin type. I didn't know those were on Google Images.
I think.
Oh my God, she was one of the disciples.
Yeah. Look at her around in Roman times.
Oh my God, here's one of her stabbing Caesar. Wow. Yep, 29 it is.
Yeah.
So she's a mess, but you gotta hand it to her. She is narcissistic. And ballsy enough to just walk into the AMAs wearing that when nobody knows who the hell she is. And now everybody knows who she is.
It's true. She's actually, I mean, she actually made like a small little ripple, pun intended, in pop culture because she was considered the worst dressed at the American Music Awards. I mean, because she wore, if you haven't seen it, she wore just a fishnet dress with pasties and a thong. And it looked terrible. It looked terrible, but it did actually what she wanted, which is that it put her on the radar because no one knows who she is.
Well, did you see gross-ass Frankie Grande with his painted-on shirt? He does the exact same Big Brother pose where his mouth is wide open and he's doing a double peace sign.
Yeah,
he's so gross.
The two of them were ranked as the worst dressed, and I think it's just funny that they're also both totally insufferable.
Yeah, and desperate.
Oh, I mean, and talk talent. About thirsty.
Mostly talentless.
We were talking about thirsty people all episode. None of the thirst compares to these two. This is Frank. I mean, Frankie's the thirstiest of them all. He has been walking through the desert, and he is thirsty.
Yeah. Oh, Frankel. God bless his little heart.
Little nipples.
God bless his little tiny nipples.
Bleona, though, she just drives me nuts. But you know what, though? I have to say, Bleona's mom, if she didn't have, like, old lady hair, she would be a total fox. She is beautiful, that woman.
Well, yeah, look, she produced a beautiful daughter. I mean, look, Bleona is beautiful, like, and she's apparently hardworking. So I can't hate on her too much because at least she's out there, like, doing something. She's just so ridiculous. And I guess you learn almost living here that's a good thing. It's so fucking backwards, but it's almost like you learn to appreciate that in a person. You're like, you're a piece of shit. Wow. Good job.
But you know, she's also kind of stupid because you know, her leadoff single, if you mentioned on the show before, is
fuck you, I'm famous, which is such an obnoxious – it's an obnoxious song title. It's an obnoxious thing to sing about. Like, it's really, really awful. So the fact that she is trying to parlay this AMA attention into this single is a real misstep, I think, from her. Like, she should have had – if she was going to do this, she should have had a hit song lined up, and she did not do that.
Well, I think that's what she thinks is her hit song, because someone just posted on Facebook that they heard it today on the radio.
No.
So there – or wait.
No.
On XM.
Oh, well, that doesn't count. That was, would they listen to the Albanian pop station? fuck you, I'm famous.
They're listening to, like, the same station that Russian restaurants use. I'm looking to see who said that. God, there's so many comments, and Facebook added this reply button.
Yeah.
Which now I'm so confused. I'm glad they did it, but yeah. It's also so freaking confusing because I can't tell what's new.
Yeah.
Damn you, people.
Damn it. So let's see. So what else happened? So the big thing was that Fani and Blyana did bury the hatchet, sort of, because Sasha's like, so, you know, I'm having a birthday party, okay? I'm having a birthday party, and people are flying in. My partners are flying in, okay, from Germany. So, like, I don't want any of this bad energy. I just want to have good energy and good times, okay? So I think it's very important for you to bury a hatchet, okay? That is what we have to do here.
I don't want catfights at my party. At my party, there are going to be people who will be dancing in tiny little cages.
Yeah, I like this. They're like, okay, so this is the cage. It's like 6 inches high. Like, there's no room for a beautiful lady to dance in there. Look in there. That is the cage of a midget.
Yeah, and it's true. Like, what are they building a dog crate? Like, what is a what? They're like, oh, it'll be great. There'll be woman in there, not able to move or leave. Like, what the hell is this? Sons of Anarchy, Jesus.
I know. And they're like, I'm going to have my birthday party at Saw. This is one of the best restaurants in the city. I love when Europeans, like, sort of awkwardly use the phrase "this is," you know, like, instead of saying, you know, I think normal English, it's not that it's incorrect, but sort of fluent people would say, like, oh, it's one of the best restaurants in the city, which is not, but it's like, oh, yeah, no, this is,
yeah, I don't
this
think I've ever heard that before. I love when Europeans say that Sir is the best restaurant in the city. Only people, only foreigners on Bravo think that Sir is the best restaurant in the city.
This is the best restaurant in the city. This is like, this is expensive place. This is, you know, they have like tuna tartare and also burritos. You know, this is a good restaurant.
And you know, when you have a brand in America, it's very important to show people that you are doing so well. And, you know, that's what we're going to do. Meanwhile, his shop, like, is closed.
Yeah.
You know, someone posted it on our Facebook.
Yeah,
a picture of his shop closed.
It's so sad. Like, this
I'm
is
not
what
even
I
laughing that it's closed, because that's so sad. But
and, you know,
probably
I actually
could have used that money.
I know. And I, you know, I actually like Sasha so much.
Yeah,
I actually think
too.
He seems
nice.
Like a... He seems like a really good egg and, like, funny, and he seems like someone fun to be around. And he's also good looking, which is most important.
Yeah, of course. You put those backwards.
Yeah. Sasha, he's like a good looking man, you know? Like, and that's what the sort of energy he wants to have at his party. But no wife and children, okay? He has to distract himself so he doesn't think about them late at night.
I loved that that lunch where Leon is like, hello there. What can I do for you, Fani?
So
how
tell
can I
me.
Make you? How can I help you in your music career? What, you know, I just want to do something wonderful for you. And Fani's like, you know, you're an unlikable person, and I don't like you. You're horrible. Why are you so ugly and disgusting? And she's like, I'm not dealing with this.
I know. That was just like, see, how do I deal with this? She's like,
you know, I am a very easygoing person. And you know, for you, I find it difficult to like you. In my life, I like a lot of people. But you are someone who's very difficult for me to like.
You are disgusting.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
But now they've, of course, turned it all around on
Isabel,
which is
amazing.
Well,
okay, all three of them have exaggerated. Well, actually, maybe not Fani so much. I think that when Fani said, like,
you know, Isabel, I don't see you as someone having a facade in your life.
You know, like, I think she was trying to be like, you know, it's hard for me to imagine you being friends with Leona because Leona seems sort of fake, whatever. It was still inappropriate for her to say. But then Isabel, whatever her name is, she kind of exaggerated it all to Leona. And then Leona exaggerated her response. So I think the two of them are kind of both at fault. But I'm glad that they're turning on Isabella. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, because Isabella's horrible.
Yeah, she's like no,
Isabella is one of those people who's just like living off the fame of her husband and like bragging about it, and I don't like that.
She's like, we're sort of the Brad and Angelina of Sweden, except I'm not the Angelina.
And he's not the Brad. We are like the Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman of Sweden. Because they have like good careers.
We are the Harry Hamlin and Lisa Rinna of Sweden.
Oh, I'm trying to think of who they would be. We are like the Stassi. But I like that one thing Isabella has learned to do is to say, hello, like an L.A. girl. Because L.A. girls always, they have this weird accent. And even if they're not born here, they eventually get this accent where they say, thank you, or hello. And I love that she does that now. She's like, hello.
Oh, my God. If you could only hear some of the girls that get into my Uber. They're like, can you take me to Melrose? Thanks.
It's like my friend Kelly. I'm tired. Rondell, it's really important. Please call me back ASAP.
And I call her and like, what's wrong? She's like,
my iPhone's not working right. What do I do? Hello?
What is this? Speaking of Euros of Hollywood, Michelle just handed me a, what's it called again? Pfeffernusse. That's from Nürburgring.
This is something that Fanny likes to eat in Austria.
I like Pfeffernusse.
In all her life, she likes to go to Nürburgring and bring it to Austria and have a Pfeffernusse.
Oh, I used to paint while I eat Pfeffernusse. And then my husband told me not to paint, but to sing while I eat Pfeffernusse. And then I did it and I choked on it. And now I only paint.
Okay. I make many paintings about Pfeffernusse.
This painting has a journal entry written on it about my thoughts on Pfeffernusse.
Today, I am going to do a triptych about Pfeffernusse. I'm going to do black and white Pfeffernusse on the left panel, blue and red in the middle panel, and green and pink in the right panel, and all of me Pfeffernusse.
Michelle is so confused right now. She's looking at me like... She's like, I'd rather have my baby crying right now.
She's like, I wish I just left you here with my baby.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what is wrong with you. You're a horrible person.
I start turning into an Asian lady the more we do that funny.
I love doing the funny impersonation.
It's one of my most favorite accents in all my life.
All right. Well, I think that'll bring us to the end of our lovely Thanksgiving episode. I'm thankful for Fonny, that little turkey.
Yes. And I'm thankful that we didn't talk about Yana because his storyline was boring.
I want to be modeling my own thing. I liked that his girlfriend's like, no, that's horrible. You look disgusting. That's awful. Gross. You're old. Ew. 80s. Thanks. That's spoken like a girl who wants a raise.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but you have to listen to the American girls because they are American and they won't have sex with you if they don't like you.
Yeah.
And remember that, audience, okay? That's your free advice for Thanksgiving.
Free advice.
Free advice. So I'm
thankful for you, Ronnie, for being a wonderful co-host and for the audience for being a wonderful audience and for everyone who supported us on Patreon. It's really awesome. We're going to record a bonus episode after this. So if you have supported us on Patreon, you can actually hear the episode. And we've actually been having a lot of fun on these episodes, these bonus episodes, because we just sort of – we talk about some Bravo things, but we just kind of like shoot the shit, you know? I enjoy it. We're going to talk about Survivor, which will be good, and some other things.
Heck yeah.
And then we also have a show at the Improv coming up January 25th. So if you are in the L.A. area, it's going to be at the Hollywood Improv. Mark your calendars. It's going to be really cool, and we want to fill some seats. And if you want to fly in, well, then you better book your ticket so that way it's not expensive for you.
Oh, my God. If a lot of people fly in, we have to have a big party somewhere, and I'll hang out.
Yeah, well, Abby, we definitely have to. Maybe we'll do it at Sir.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, funny.
I don't think we want to subject our poor listeners to that place. but either way... I am thankful for many things, including this podcast.
Yeah, so, me too. Thanks a lot, everybody. Come on to our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens to talk crap with us. Patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens to subscribe and find some extras. And all of our social media links you can find on watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, I'm doing full recaps of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills all season long, so come to Trash Talk TV to find those.
Yeah,
and that's it for me.
Yeah, and by the way, people, come listen to my other podcast, The Banter Blender. I haven't done an episode in about 2 weeks or so. I'll try to get one in after Thanksgiving. But it's just like a fun pop culture podcast. It's usually just my friends, although a few weeks ago I had Ryan Cabrera on as my guest. And incidentally, that's my lowest ranked podcast in like a year.
Really? Like, so, ratings-wise or what?
Yeah, ratings-wise. I'm like, oh, good. I finally have like a minor celebrity on my podcast and no one cared and no one listened.
Oh, that sucks. Did he retweet and all that good stuff?
He did not. So,
oh, you see? Then what's the point?
What's the point? What is the point? And it was really embarrassing because I showed up to his place and it was like hot out. So I was like sweating because I did it in person. And so I was like sweating and I didn't want him to think that I was nervous to be interviewing him because it's Ryan Cabrera. But I was afraid that he would think I was like nervous of him or starstruck. But he was super nice though. But I'm just saying I felt embarrassed for myself.
Oh, anyway, Ben. Anyway, I don't even know who that is, if that makes you feel better.
Well,
Ben,
I'm thankful for Ryan Cabrera.
Well, so, I'm thankful for you sweating.
I'm thankful for my sweat, too, because it's part of the body's regulatory system. So anyway,
get out those thanks toxins, man.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.